and Satan, you got to remember, Satan, the god of this world, he opposes everything all the time that pertains to God. I mean, he opposes it all the time. You know, and I was thinking about in Genesis 3 over there where, you know, Satan came to Adam, the serpent came, I mean, to Eve, and it don't tell when God told them not to eat of that tree in the middle of the garden, you know. I can't find any story up till Satan come to her. So evidently God had told them, you know. And so when you get to that story, what I got out of that years ago, you know, he asked her a question. He said, has God said not to eat that? And he asked Eve a question. The Bible says he was the most cunning of all the beasts. The most cunning. Now, I've met some cunning people, buddy, and I mean, if you just didn't know they were cunning, they will absolutely convince you of something that ain't so. I don't know if you've ever met any good cunnings. I have. I was one. I'd swear on a stack of Bibles, man, to get Teresa to believe me. I mean, I even literally got Bibles, and I would put my hand on the Bible and swear on the stack. I was cunning, crafty in what I was doing because I wanted to convince her. Well, see, Satan does that to convince me and you that life is not going to get better, that things are not going to get better. Now, in this world, I agree. I absolutely agree. Darkness will cover the earth. Gross darkness will cover the people. Evil times, hard to deal with people. I'm not ignorant of what's going on in this world. But I am factoring in God in my life. I'm factoring in God. I'm going to occupy until Jesus comes. I'm going to prosper. You are going to prosper. When I say prosper, I'm not just talking about money. But I'm not going to leave that promise out either. He said, abound in that grace of giving. There is a grace that we can abound in. And when you tap into that, we're saved by grace. That is how powerful grace is. The Bible says we are saved. We are born again through grace, by faith, because we released our faith. Well, we can abide in a grace of prospering. I am in it. You are in it. I don't care what you feel like. If you're in faith, you're in it. You're growing. You're going to prosper. He's going to bring promotion brings weighty things to you. Promotion brings deeper levels in God, deeper levels in maturity. It brings spiritual things into it. It develops us spiritually. Sandy went through an ordeal here a while back and cost her money and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, this is good for her, God. You know, I mean, it just went south. It went sour. It went all sour. Everything went sour of her doing good. She's notorious for that. She gets herself in some of the biggest messes I've ever seen in my life. You know, because she's generous, you know. She wants to help everybody. And she'll involve you in it. She'll recruit everybody she can. Well, it went south. And I thought, this is wonderful. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. It went south. It cost her money. I'm sure she had opportunities to get mad and all that. I thought, God, you're going to use that to develop my little warrior. She's going to get stronger through it. She's going to gain wisdom. See, look, you can't look at setbacks and things that don't go your way as defeat. I mean, you got to look at it like glory to God. This is opportunity to believe God and for God to show himself strong to me and real to me. Hallelujah. And I'm talking about he steps into that kind of attitude with you. He's already there. He sends that anointing that destroys the yokes that is trying to destroy you and causes increase from the kingdom of God. Heaven is waiting on us to respond the right way to things and then increase comes. God's will is to prosper you. People fight it. God's people fight it. I mean, they resist it. I mean, they resist prosperity. It's like, what is wrong with some folk, you know? I know what it is. The God of this world, he don't get them to get in there and dig in. what they some walnut trees around here that's on this property. Mr. Brown down here, he told me when we bought it, he said, would you care if I come down there? Now, they've been gathering them walnuts. Them old-timers like walnuts. Some of y'all young and y'all don't even know what a walnut is. It hits you in the head. You'd be like, I wonder what that is, you know. But I've cracked walnuts before and eat them. Boy, they was good, good old walnut pies that Mama used to make. Dog, man, ain't had one in a while. You buy this old pecan pie stuff, it ain't got nothing on a good walnut pie that is homemade by somebody that knows how to make it anyway. I told him, I said, you can eat them. You can eat them, Papa? And I said, sure you can. You got to crack them open. I said, you crack them open, and then the walnuts, they throwed one and banging it on the concrete. You know, they immediately want to get them walnuts out. How many knows it's hidden in there? There's hidden treasures in that old green ball. But God, you get down there, I mean, you got to have something to really tear into that. You won't chew in, you won't crack it like a peanut. You know, I said, Aiden, he said, well, how you get in there, Papa? I said, you take a hammer. I said, your daddy can show you. But I'm not sure if he ever cracked a walnut or not. You ever cracked a walnut, son? Okay, well, he has. And so he said, I know how to do it, Papa. He said, I know how to use a hammer. That boy will beat everything up. I mean, I have to watch him when he gets a hammer now. He's going, shh. He said, I know how you do it, Papa. You just bang that thing, and you bang it into stuff until it busts open. I said, yeah. I said, then down in there, I said, there's a walnut. And Aubrey said, Papa, does it taste like that, the hot-boiled peanuts? Travis buys them jalapeno peanuts, and they like them, man. You know, and I said, well, no, don't taste like that. Their curiosity caused them to run all the way to church and ask Grandma for some bags. Because I made that walnut advertising to them. I mean, I made them want that walnut in there. So they go find all the walnuts they could find and barely could drag both bags up here and put them somewhere. Well, you know what? That's what the Word of God does to a hungry believer. Praise God, it causes them to get a hold of that Word and say, I don't care, I'm going to have that walnut. I'm going to have that promise. I'm going to walk in that promise. I'm going to walk in my divine health. I'm going to walk when my body is weak. The Bible says, when I'm weak, the Bible says for me to say that I'm strong. If I want to be that walnut in there, then I've got to take through my weakness, and then I've got to say out of my mouth, because the Bible says out of my mouth I'll speak the abundance of my heart out of my mouth. So if that's in there, well then I need to start bringing it out. I need to start saying, thank you, Lord. I feel weak, praise God, today, but Lord, I'm strong. I'm strong in you according to Ephesians 6:10. I'm strong in you and in the power of your might, your strength, your ability. And we just heard Samantha, the minute she lets Jesus get involved, things get easier. She's getting a promotion, sounds like to me, going to a place to be over people. Well, it's going to be weighty, but The Bible says, greater is he that's in us. See, I didn't know how to run a business. I failed at running businesses up till I got saved. I couldn't run a garbage business good. I couldn't manage. I told Travis the other day, I said, there's two things. I said, business, church, or family. I said, it don't make any difference. I said, there's two things in life. I said, now, I'm not leaving God out. I'm factoring in we're born-again believers. I wouldn't talk to somebody and say. I said, there's two things that will cause a person to succeed. I said, one is integrity, and the other one is management skills. Two things. Jesus first, right? Integrity. Don't quit. If you quit, you won't win. If they quit, they will never taste a walnut. But I believe they got integrity, because their desire to see what's in that walnut is greater than the challenge to get in that walnut. And so, in other words, they will find a way, Mac, I believe, to partake of a walnut. Two things, integrity. That's something that God is. He is integrity. I mean, he's long-suffering. I mean, he's mighty in battle, the Bible says. He don't slumber, the Bible. He says he don't sleep and he don't slumber. And God is, the Bible says that he is mindful of us. In other words, he's got his mind on us all the time. God has his mind and heart on us all the time. And he's with us. And he is the God that rolled back the Red Sea. He is the God that dried up the Jordan River. He's the God that sent the lion, the angels in the lion's den. He is the God that sent the one likened to the Son of Man in with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's the one that anointed David to kill them all. He's the one that anointed Elijah with the jawbone of a donkey, killed 1,000. With the jawbone of a donkey. And you know what? This world, the longer I serve God, the more that I realize this world system, this world's way of thinking tries to mold me to water down God in my heart, in my mind. The TV does it. I mean, the Republican Party now, they're just in a frenzy. They're in a mess. They've been in a mess. I think God's tired of both parties. I think he's tired, sick of the whole mess. Republicans and Democrats. But you know what? We stand with him, and it don't make no difference what kind. Look, I can listen to that garbage for about 45 minutes, and it tries to steal my dreams. It tries to, I don't want to go fix my tractor. What's the use? Sell my cows. This world's going to hell in a hand. You can't listen to all that garbage that's coming from. I'm not talking about it not getting information, and I mean knowing what's going on. I mean, I'm not against that. But eating it up and eating it and drinking it and sleeping with it and thinking about it and meditating on it. And all that stuff. No, Jesus said you won't occupy if you do that. Why? Because you will be just like the children of Israel when they get up there and they go in and they spy out the land. They was giants in the promises. There's giants standing right now wanting me to pay. I was watching that garbage on, I think it was Newsmax. They're kind of Christian, you know. Well, this guy's on there with star glasses, star, pink. And I mean, he's wanting to be famous. And so he's going to be the first transgender to be a woman. He's going to be the first, they're going to plant a baby in the dude. And then he's going to be the first transgender to ever have an abortion. Planning it. And I'm standing there and I'm brushing my teeth and I thought how evil of a heart a man has. That he wants to be a woman. He's of his father, the devil. He wants to be a woman, but he wants a human put in him and let it start living and kill it. That's what it boils down to. And so I thought, Lord, the blood of the babies are crying out from the ground. The blood of innocent the shedding of innocent blood, and me and you are pro-life. We're God. We're pro-life. We will not stand in judgment over that, but there will come a reckoning one day. And they will stand before the God that created, whether it is put in a woman or a man, that is human life. That is God's miracle creation that a baby can get inside of a woman. And live in animals and all of that. Hallelujah. And you know what? All that makes me want to do is fight for freedom. That means whom the Son has set free is free indeed, right? So when we preach the gospel, when we live it, when we decide we're going to walk with God and we're going to shine, we're a city set on a hill. We're not to hide under a bushel, the Bible says. We're supposed to stand up. We're going to be persecuted. I was telling Johnny, the Lord dealt with me to go back to the Blount County Jail. This has been years and years ago. And so I'd complied with the Lord, so I'm fasting and praying and all of that. And somebody was going to church here, and there was a jailer down at the Blount County Jail. And it'd been years since I'd been to the jail. And I just felt like God wanted me to go back. But I felt like maybe God wanted me to go back, you know, and take some folk with me from the church and get them started, you know, get them started and let them go and minister. That's what I felt like at that time. So anyhow, a couple of days later after I told the Lord, I believe it was on a Wednesday night, she come through the door and she said, "Brother Scotty, you're not going to believe this." I said, "You can't shock me." I said, "But go ahead, tell me." She said, "Your poster's down there at the jail." I said, "What?" She said, "Man, your picture is on a poster in the jail down there, and it says, 'Do not allow in.'" I thought, "I ain't even told nobody." And I looked at her and I said, "Oh, really?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "I will go in Jesus' name." You know what? I went in, Johnny. I got in there. See, when God opens doors according to Revelation, I open doors that no man can shut. And I shut doors that no... See, you got to believe this stuff. See, if you don't get it in there and believe that God will do a miracle, He can't do it. Because you won't walk to the Red Sea. You won't go to the Jordan. You won't go in the lion's den. You won't. So you won't see the glory. I won't see the glory. See, the glory of God's not revealed by me setting back, not going forward. See, God wants you to dream. If somebody told me back, I guess about 30 years ago, they said, "There's no need in having a house or nothing. The Bible says we're going to have to flee up in the Bible does say that. Talks about there'll be one on the housetop, one will be left, and blah, 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 you know. And all that. And I left there and I had this feeling like, what's the use? You know, what's the use of, if Jesus is going to be here in the next week or three or a year, they don't need me, you know. And I left, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm feeling grieved. And I thought, well, you know, the Bible says that we won't be led by grief. We'll be led by peace. So I started thinking, something's wrong with this. Something's not right. Well, you know what? 30 years later, Wells Fargo ain't got my house no more. I didn't listen to that. I read in there where Jesus said, "Occupy, go to work with your own hands that you'll have to give to those who need. Don't be busybody, you know. Serve the Lord, sing a lot." Teresa told me one time, she brought a sermon and God told her, He said, "Now, I'm familiar with mules. We worked mules. I rode on the back of mules while my family plowed with them. That's how they babysitted me to keep me from tromping down stuff. They put me on the mule right out in the middle of the heat, and I rode the mule. She drugged me off one time." She didn't mean to. But she said, God, she brought forth a sermon from the Holy Spirit and said, "Put on blinders." I understood that. They used to put screen on the horse, on the mule, when they're plowing the corn so they won't eat the corn down. They put blinders. It's like they can't see nothing behind them. It goes against their head like this, and all they can see is forward. To not be distracted. They did that. Dad and them did that, and farmers did that, that horse would stay focused, or mule, on what it's doing. And so she brought that message, and I thought, glory to God, I'm going to put on blinders, God, and I'm not going to look at this ungodly world going to hell in a handbasket. I'm not going to look at people sick to the right and to the left. I'm not going to look at people falling out of church. They've been falling out of church ever since I've been born again. Start out with 250 and end up with 100 sooner or later. If you're not careful, that will discourage you. I just told a minister the other day, I said, "I don't care come hell or high waters, hell can freeze over." I said, "It won't never." I said, "I'm just making my statement extreme." I said, "I will never believe that it's not God's will that we assemble together," because the word church in the Bible is called out, called together, and assembly. I said, "I will never believe that one individual that calls themselves the church is not deceived. They've got misled information. The church is called out, called together. And Johnny, there will be a day when every saint on the planet will be together. They will be. But until that day, me and you are to have our sword, taking the sword of the Spirit, two-edged. The word is a two-edge. I mean, if you whack forward, you cut. You whack back, you cut. The Bible is called a two-edged sword. The word, it says, has faith in it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Ephesians said, taking the shield. Travis and them got them some rackers or whatever they are, rockers or whatever they are. Well, I drove one back from, because Beth had never rode a motorcycle. It's kind of like riding a four-wheeler. That thing's pretty fun. Lenny, I didn't want to drive, so I rode over there with them. They went through the deal, and I put on Beth's helmet, and I didn't tie it real tight, you know what I mean? And so I'm buzzing on back, and before you know it, my helmet's up here, you know? And then Travis, he cruised on up about 55 or 60, and I'm up there, and then I feel like I'm choking. You know, that wind had got in my helmet, and I wasn't going to turn loose one hand like I normally do, because I'm like, this thing feels a little freaky anyways. You know, you try to lean a little, it's got two tires in the front and one in the back, you know. And you're kind of feeling like the ditch is over, you're like, no, I don't turn loose now, just hold on, hold on. I'm not going off in that ditch, hit that big pine tree down there, you know. And so finally got all the way back to Sneed, and I turned my blinker on, Travis pulled over. Well, one time I did have one hand hold my helmet. And then my hand started going to sleep, and I'm like, dang, man, you know, I gotta turn loose. This hand's going to go to sleep. If it goes to sleep, it can't go hang on. Then I'm going off the ditch, man. I'm making this funny, but I'm bringing this in. You won't never forget it. I might be telling you about a rocker, but I'm telling you about something that's fixing to happen that we got. Well, go on, you know, and now Travis, he's the same way. You know, I mean, you open your mouth, man, it'll just blow you. You know, you'll be able to keep your mouth shut. Win. Y'all ain't never rode a motorcycle, Travis, show you. Well, anyways, because of that, they ordered shields. So I asked him, I said, was that shield good? So they got full shield, and they can raise them up from what I can understand is coming. But they put shields on the back. Now, it breaks off all of that that was distracting me, trying to kill me. Right? I mean, I don't have. If I ride it now, I won't have a problem with my helmet choking me. It won't be laid back on my head. It won't be, I mean, the tighter you get it, the more you choke. Because And so they put a shield up there. And that shield, it catches everything coming. See, that's what we do when we don't start complaining, when we don't start looking at it, when we don't start thinking we can't do it, when we don't start thinking we ain't going to be healed, I've been sick too long, when we've been thinking, you start thinking one thing after, if it ain't one thing, it's another. You're going to hear that where you go. If it ain't one thing, it's another. And if you ain't careful, you'll start noticing and calling one thing after another to yourself. That's the same way it is me, doggone it. Can't get up for getting knocked back down. We never should say stuff. No, we should say, no, God works all things together for the good. Now you're in faith. Now you've got that shield. Now you're expecting this thing to turn around. Now you've invited this grace. You've invited the Holy Spirit. You've invited the heavens, the power of God. The angels of God. See, that's why I preach it, because I'm out in the world. You know, I go a lot of places, man. Somebody asked me the other day, I was there, and if I overexert myself, I kind of hurt between my shoulder blades. That's been happening for years, you know. I smoked for a long time. Well, anyways, I'd stood up and I did like that, you know. I was helping Travis and them unloading. He said, what is your back hurt? And I said, no. My back's not hurt. He said, well, I just noticed you. And I said, well, I said, when I overexert myself, I said, there's a little pain in my shoulder blade, you know. He said, well, maybe you need to retire. I said, and do what? My mind won't go to retire and quit. What am I going to do, man? Well, fish. I said, well, how many fish can I catch? I mean, I'm sure I'd get tired of fishing sooner or later, don't you? And then I'm going to be depressed because I'm out of the will of God. He ain't told me to quit. He told me to occupy, right? I don't see no retirement for me. I don't see no quitting. I didn't do that. You know, I mean, I told that guy, nah, man, you know, man, what am I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not, I just can't see that. I said, you know, I enjoy this right here. Now, I don't enjoy the problems. We had problems, couldn't finish the job. They wanted me to do it, and I shut the job down and left and said, not going to do it. Come over here and get her fixed. And I told him, I said, in the future, they'll know what to do. They build buildings. I'm not going to build your building so I can put my doors up. Ain't that crazy? So that's what you're talking about. But you stay in the right spirit. You handle it. You're bold as a lion. You don't let that discourage you. The majority of people, stuff like that happens, they quit. They fold their hands. Christians, they fold their hands. Told the preacher, you know, he said, well, I ain't got but just hands, just a few coming like your church. I said, you don't know how many's in my church. I said, see, I've been in the bathroom crying before because people wouldn't come to church, man, and telling the Lord, Lord, I've followed you and laid my life down, and I still do it, and I will, Lord, and they won't come, and they won't get faithful. I'm crying in that bathroom to the Lord after nobody was here, so, you know. I told him, I said, I understand. I said, see, God got me in the bathroom, and God asked me, he said, what has that got to do with what I've told you to do? Whether people come or not. I thought about it. I thought, I'd never thought about that. I said, well, Lord, it's got nothing to do with it. He said, well, how long are you going to stay in this state? And I left out of here happy. I lived at Rosa then. I left out of here, I had a victory in the bathroom. Had a meeting with the Holy Ghost in the bathroom. I've never been the same. And I told him, I said, the thing about it is, man, I said, we're called. If you're called, then it don't make no difference what road you're on. If you're in the will of God, it don't base your victory on people. You don't base your victory on people. You ain't a preacher. It ain't got nothing to do whether to be a preacher or not. You bring that in every area of life. That is something that works in every, it works in my marriage. If it didn't, I know God has, he's took my faith and helped Teresa. But the majority of the problem was not Teresa, Johnny. God wanted me built in the battle. He wanted me to be able to handle things in the battle and stay in the right spirit and win the victory. Because the Bible says in 1 John 5:4, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, that shield, our faith. The Bible says, take therewith the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the serpent, the devil. There's nothing he can do with faith. There's nothing he can do with it. That's why the Bible says in Isaiah 54:17, he says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. God's word is true. It's true. But now I can lay down, I told that guy, and I was trying to encourage that guy. It's hard to encourage somebody when they're in the battle, they feel defeated, because you got to get them out of that. You got to bring them up. The thinking is a defeated place. If you believe nobody loves you, whether it's true or not, you'll get discouraged. It'll discourage you in your heart. You'll faint. You'll faint in your heart. Then the enemy will come in, and then he'll start to trying to get you to say, well, if God wanted something, he wants you to start blaming God. He told her, has God not said? He said, God knows if you eat that your eyes are going to be open and you will know good from evil and you will be like God. That's what he told her. And then the Bible says she began to look. She said, well, it does look good to eat. And then it'll make me wise. He lied to her. She took it. And then he had to put them out of the Garden of Eden because he couldn't leave them there because they would have eaten of the tree of life and lived forever in a fallen state. They would have been stuck in a fallen state. So he put them out and he put a sword, flaming sword, to guard, to keep them out. That's the Holy Ghost to us today. He reminds us of the Word of God. He reminds us of the vision we have of tractors or cows or house or remodeling or gardening. I mean, whatever. I mean, I feel kind of burned out about three-quarters of the way of gardening because it's hard work. But then when it comes turnip green time, I get fired up again. I'm like, oh, yeah. Turnip greens, baby, turnip greens. And so I go out there and I plant a quarter of an acre of turnip greens. And Teresa always, why are you planting all them turnips? And I just tell her, well, ground cover, I guess. Well, it's, I like to look out my door and I like to look at that green patch of turnip greens. It just makes me feel good. I planted them. Satan told me when I bought that place because I was having these issues. I've been whipping this for over 30 years. Jeremy, I've been whipping this for over. I should have done be dead. That Satan can't kill me. I ain't leaving here with sickness. I talked my mom into not leaving here with sickness and disease. And everything told her she's leaving here with it. I talked her into, based on the Bible, that you're going to leave here and you're just going to give up the ghost like Jesus. She looked at my sister that Sunday morning and looked at her and told my sister, said, tell Scotty I love him, and left here. It wasn't in a coma in the hospital. She done been there and whipped that. Right? Done been down there, done that. Done been bedridden a woman that, I mean, I had had squash. This is what kind of woman she was. Had squash planted one year and she didn't have a roustabout at that time. They didn't have them. She had a wheelchair, you know. And I went out there before I went to work that morning, and I said, you need anything, Mom? No, I'm good. She said, I'm going to pick your squash. I said, you're in a wheelchair. Well, I can roll up there. I can roll down beside it, and I can pick that squash. I said, well, why don't you just have a good squash-picking day? I didn't go bust her bubble, let her go up. What if she falls out of? Well, she'll holler. Right? They's neighbors. Somebody will see her up there. Any woman fighting to get to a squash patch, don't stop them. They got a vision, baby. They're going to the squash patch because they're going to get them some fresh squash. She was a dreamer. I helped her be a dreamer. Jesus did through me. You can help people be dreamers and attain their dreams that they don't even believe they can reach. But if you ain't reaching yours, it's all going to be hard for you to tell them they can reach yours. See, that's why you take the things that God has given you and the promises God has given you, and I don't care, you don't turn them loose. I mean, you just set it in your heart, and you know you delight in yourself in the Lord. You know when you're wanting something that God don't want. You'll have a grieving in here. You'll just have a check. You'll be like, nah, that's not it. Especially the more that you mature and walk with the Lord, you'll be like, nah, you know, nah, nah, nah. Your mind, oh, you'll enjoy that, oh. And you'll be like, nah, head, you're dumb. You ain't going to talk me into that foolishness. God's the only one that knows what'll make me happy. He knows, Johnny, what'll satisfy. Well, the Bible says, delight ourselves in the Lord, and he'll give us the desires of our heart. Commit the fight of faith, and he'll bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Commit our ways. We're going to believe him. Commit our ways to him. No, God, my block wall's not here. It looked impossible, Johnny. I'm up there and I drawed a line when I got my house. I'm standing there and I walked over to where I felt like the lines might be on the house. I didn't even know where it was at. But God told me, He said, this is yours. He said, it's yours. And so I got down to where there was an old pump. There's a well on it, and a pump. We had a nice little pump house built on it, you know. And I'm there, and I thought, oh, there's a well, Jesus. I'll drink out of wells I didn't dig. I thought, glory to God, I didn't build this house. And then I looked out there, and it was all growed up. You know, I found an old scuppin' iron vine on there. They had been let that thing go and growed up in that tree, and I got my two grandkids. And I'm eating vineyards that I didn't plant. They some on the top, too. I got up in that tree and cut that old vine out of that tree, boy. I took some posts and had Aubrey and Aiden. Aiden wasn't big enough then, been a couple of years ago. And I drove fence posts and we unrolled hog wire. And we put hog wire and I tied it all up there. We ate sculpting irons, all three of us this year, off of that vine. And we found three more. But anyhow, I bent down and I was drawing a line in that dirt. And I had this thought, you it's yours, but you will never enjoy it. And I knew that thought didn't come from God. And I thought, well, maybe I'm going to die soon, you know, but at least I'll have Teresa House. And I went and took out $100,000. I thought, bless God, I'm going to leave her rich if I leave here. Glory to God. So I went and took out $100,000 worth of insurance. And I told that devil, I said, if I leave here, it won't be on account of you, bless God. But if I leave here, she gains. I'm going to leave her $100,000. The house would have been paid for, Mac. And she might have thought between in the last 15, 20 years, I wished he'd die. Now, I don't know that. I doubt it. But well, I've heard people say I'd be better off without them because they got a big insurance policy, D. I'd be better off without them than I would with them. Now, I don't know. I shouldn't have said that. Surely she didn't think that. If she did, I don't want to know about it. But my point being is, I thought, you know what? We are going to have our dreams. We're going to live the what they call American dream, but it ain't. It's God. Them people left from over yonder out of bondage to come over here to a country where they could worship God. Hallelujah. And founded this United States on biblical principles from the Bible. And put it where God's people could govern. And you see where it's at today, but it's going to return. God has pushed out of the schoolhouses for 25 years now. Pushed out crime. They want to do away with authority, Mac. Defund the police. God ordains authority. I love the police. I mean, even if I'm growing marijuana and illegal, I want them here. Somebody will kill me and get my marijuana if they don't. At least, you know. If I don't get called a score. If they ain't got no police here, you know what's going to happen? These thugs that ain't going to work, that are demon-possessed and yielding to the enemy, they just going to invade. And then we're going to have to take the sword. But you know what? God is our rear guard. We're to move forward. We're not to look back. We're not to look to the right and to the left. The Bible says that 1,000 will fall to our side, 10,000 to our, but none shall, it shall not come nigh us. Only with our eyes will we see the reward of the wicked. I just quoted that to the Lord today. I believe it was today. I said, thank you, Lord, that all of these things, all that no plague will come nigh, only with my eyes will I see the reward of the wicked. Satan tells me all the time, has for 30 years. That sucker, he's relentless. You're going to die. I'm still here, Johnny. I declare all the time, I will live and not die and declare the glory of God long, satisfied, not long, broke, weak, you know, life. Well, I have. I will have a long, satisfied life. I pray that for Lisa. She will. I don't care what happens. I'm not going to say this thing is too bad. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to think it. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to believe it. Praise God, I'm believing full recovery. Hey, He can replace marrow in bones. I've seen Him heal cancer. You may not have ever seen Him heal no cancer, but I've seen Him heal cancer. I've seen Him heal me. I've seen Him raise people from a coma. They're really dead. Breathing machines. I've saw it with my own eyes. Hallelujah. But I first heard it out of patriarchs. I believe it might have, was it Smith Wigglesworth raised one from the dead out of a casket? Yes. I'm reading the Smith Wigglesworth book. Sucker's that thick. Man, it'll take you a year to read his book. He goes into a funeral home, man, and God tells him to raise that person from the dead. They done been embalmed, Johnny. They're laying there in an open coffin, man. True story, true documented story from an ordinary man that wouldn't listen to the world, wouldn't read newspapers, didn't turn on to nothing like that. I mean, he focused on God and God's will and God's big and all of that. He's focused on all that. Goes in there, grabs that person out of the coffin, I mean, and pulls them out, slams them against the wall, and commands them to live and not die. Went down, did it again. That person walked out of that funeral home. See, we need to be shocked. In your body, my body tells me all kind of stuff. People tell me, I stayed on this roof about 6 hours, 5 or 6 hours Saturday, you know, going over some stuff up here. And I'm not used to it. And I'm squatted down, you know, And I mean, Sunday morning, I barely could come to church. My calves was, you know. So I'm in the parts house. And she said, "How are you?" I said, "Well, I've nearly got the soreness worked off the back of calves and my legs." "What happened?" I said, "I got on the roof for 4 or 5 hours Saturday. Squatted down, up and down." I said, "It got hot. And I started sweating, had to go down 3 or 4 times, drank a few bottles of water." You know, and she said, it's just old age setting in. I thought, you ain't going to give me that confounded seed. I know 80 years old going to the gym down there, but God, they can pump a couple of 100 pounds. Don't tell me old age got anything to do with it. Their mind, I done seen it. Their mind's made up. Their body's not going to tell them what to do. So they go and they work out. I got me another tractor and I had to put a steer cylinder licking on it. I started taking that bolt off, got it loose, and I thought, oh, praise God, broke loose. Man, and I mean, it's like cross-threaded all the way off. Johnny, it took me 20 minutes to get that one nut off. You know, and I'm laying there, you know, it felt like I'd been pumping weights, man, you know. And my thoughts, well, it's because she said old age. I got up and I said, "You lying idiot, shut up. I've been pumping iron here for 20 minutes. I'm just now starting to burn. I'm just now building this muscle, baby." "Well, if he can get you to believe that garbage and believe, you'll just get up and quit. I'm too old for this. I'm just getting too old for this." Me and Teresa, we'd have not fights or argue too much arguments back years ago. Finally got smart to it. You know what he would tell her? She'd have this thought, "I'm too old for this. I'm too old for this." She told me later, he kept telling me that. "Too old for this." What does that mean? I'm the excitement in her life. I'm headed home. Excitement's headed home. Hey, baby. I told her, I said, this evening, I said, "Hey." I said, "I love you now." "What?" I said, "I love you." I said, "I hadn't felt good in a little while. Didn't know if I'd been showing any emotion or not." She came in there and showered, and she said, "Hey, hey, hey. Yeah, I'm going to do it." She said, I need some more money. I said, what? She said, let me get some sugar on forehead. Come here. I'm in the shower, Johnny. So she just sticks her head in there and give me a little sugar on the forehead. I need some more money. I said, I'll think about it. Well, she's been being generous. You know, when you're generous and you're a giver, if you're not careful and you look at it, you're like, oh, it's leaving, it's leaving. But if you're a cheerful giver, you're like, oh, it's growing, it's growing. I told her, I said, you're going to prosper, you know. I said, you're going to prosper. I said, God's going to prosper you. And he is. And I started thinking, look, God, next service of three I get, I'm gonna stack her up, you know. Praise God, she's being generous. It makes me want to give her something. You know, see somebody giving, that's the way God is. He sees the, and the Satan's like, the economy, peanut butter's $3 a can. Go to the grocery store, oh God, I'm going to be broke when I leave there. Don't you ever say that. Let me tell you what happened. Me and Travis, and we got favor on us. We go to a store, left the job, go to the store, and I go in there, and I'm like, I don't want this junk, man. They get that pizza and all that stuff, you know, and I look for salads and stuff, you know. I'm like, and so anyhow, there's a hot dog over there about all I can buy. And so I said, well. And so I got to looking, and I'm like, oh, man, they got chili. Gee, you can put chili on it. So I got a little vision there, you know. So I break me a bun, open, look for a microwave. I want to heat it a little bit, but there wasn't one. Well, I stacked that thing up, boy. I mean, I put chopped onions. I mean, I just decked it out. And then I squirted on this one side some chili. And I mean, he's getting hungry. He could eat three of these hot dogs right quick. And then I put nacho cheese. It was made for the nacho cheese rack. But I squirted that thing with nacho cheese. I like cheese. And I go out and I put it up there, you know, and I said, I had it closed, and I thought, I'm just going to be funny with him, man. And I said, hey, man. I said, that's a hot dog. He looked at it. I said, and I just want to let you know now, because I ain't opening. I said, I loaded it with chili, and I loaded it with nacho cheese. And I mean, I broke me open a bunch of stuff. So I was thinking, just charge me what you want to, because I added a bunch of stuff to it. He said, it'll be $1 for that Coke, sir, and that hot dog's free. I said, are you serious right now? Yeah, I'm serious, son. Get off. That's what I thought. I started to say, can I get another one, man, to go? I walked out there, and I walked across that parking lot, and I'm like, ooh, see that devil? See it, devil? You see that devil? I didn't do nothing. I was going to be funny with the dude. Got the truck, and I told Travis, hey, you know what, man? I told him about the hot dog. I said, I got it. He said, are you serious right now? And I said, yeah, man. I said, I've got favor on me. Let the hot dog get $3. I don't care. That was the best hot dog I'd eaten in a week. Didn't cost me nothing. Expect it. Expect it. Wherever you go, expect the favor of God. It's God. I mean, it pleases him to do that. God did that for me, man. He did it for me. You know what? And I'm like, God, the world don't want me preaching prosperity, and a lot of the church fights it, Lord, but I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to give them everything I know and everything you do to me and for me. I'm going to give it to them. They're going to be wealthy before they leave here. It ain't me doing it, it's him. So you know what? Don't listen to that devil. Travis, you know, I mean, you know how people are. If you don't, some people, Johnny, if you don't ride a Harley, you can't ride a V-Star with a Harley gang. Well, you ought to seat yourself up with your Harley. Bunch of prideful things. I'd rather have a Honda than a Harley. You give me a good old beat-up Toyota, you keep your Corvette. I don't care, man, you know. Well, Travis going to get Rikers. You ain't Harleys. I mean, to some, I pulled up and dude, I said, yeah, Travis, he's on a Harley. I said, right, got a Racker. I said, well, Racker, oh yeah, it's them Racker. They ain't got no power. I said, go mom power not Harley. I said, I rode it back from Gadsden. I said, I believe I could smoke it. Look at me. Oh well. I said, his is a 900. I don't even know what that is. But I told Travis, I said, don't you worry about nobody. Y'all two right there desire that, and it's okay with the Lord. Y'all go get your little rackers and be anointed. Anointed going down the road, and y'all just enjoy theirself. See, Beth, I guarantee you, in winter, she rides, she's going to have some bunny on top of her head. Travis is like, I'm not riding with that stuff. She have a bogging man bunny rabbit. Hey, she's come to church with it. I seen her on Facebook. She wants some shoes. It looks like a shark. Is that what it was? A shark swallowed her feet. And I'm like, that's Beth. That's Beth all the way. She wanted to get a wrap for her. Now, she looks like the IRS in that ride, you know, going down the road to me, kind of like the IRS. She wanted, she would have a wrap with polka dot. She'd like to have it wrapped. She'd be coming in here and we'd be like, oh, God, let her park on the very back. But you know what? That wouldn't change Beth at all. See, the rocker didn't change them. You know, people told me one time, they told me I wouldn't have a Dodge. God, give me a Dodge. I was the only one in my family driving a Dodge. Boy, that was a good truck. Had a 360 in it, extended cab, two-tone red when I waxed that baby up. She looked sharp. And the Lord told me one day, he said, you're the only one that ain't got that's got a Dodge. I thought, I'm the only one. You gave me a Dodge. Everybody else thinks they got to have Silverado. If you ain't got a Silverado, you ain't got nothing. So you know what? I told God, I said, God, you made Ford too. You made Ford and Chevy. Now, I am a Chevy man, Johnny. I mean, I like Chevy. And if I'm going to choose and God's okay, I'm going to get a Chevy. I like the way they look. I like the way they ride. I like the way they're built. I like the way they're enduring. Ford starts using oil quick. You small truck Ford, they can't hold up to a working man, the transmissions. Now, working woman, probably not D. I mean, the woman's likely to be dragging a backhoe down the road. She needs a dump truck. They ain't no Toyota, unless it's just to work and back like she does, going to hold up to D. Praise God. But you know what? Don't worry about what people think about you. Just prosper. Just keep your eyes on the Lord and thank the Lord where you're at. And I mean, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And don't you believe that it's too late for you to prosper. We're right in the middle of prosperity, man. I mean, we're right in the middle of a flow of God. You know, and some Christians, you know, they've been waiting for 4 years till somebody gets back in the White House so they can feel good. I've been feeling good the whole time because my King is in the house. Jesus is King. He's Lord. Hallelujah. And I've been looking forward and speaking to my business, speaking to my family, speaking to my grandkids. I've been calling them blessed. Aiden out there, they want grace. See, you take these little things and you can teach them biblical things or major things. Aiden, he said, you know what? Aubrey says, Papa, you want to see how fast I can run? I said, sure. And so she goes out there, and I mean, she runs, and I said, woo, look at you, you're fast. She's not that fast yet. So Aiden comes out, hey. So Aubrey says, Papa. No, he says, Aiden, you want a race? Yeah, I want a race. So they go over there, and I said, okay, when I say go, go. I go, ready, say it, and he takes off. I said, go. And so he got a little ahead of her. Well, he won, you know. And so she says, okay, well, let's race back. Hey, yeah. He likes to win. That boy, he can't stand losing now. I'm having to teach him, though, you know. I mean, he gets discouraged, won't lay down, just quit life. If he, you know, don't beat grandma to the door, you know. Cards or anything, good Lord. I got to help him. And so they go over there. I said, okay, now don't go until I say go. I said, well, I said, ready, set, go. And they both started at the same time, and she beat him. And he went, and he turned around and said, Papa, she cheated. I said, how did she cheat?
She was running faster than me.
I said, Aiden, I said, that's the way it is, baby. I said, that's not cheating. I said, she's not cheating. I said, don't you want to win? Yeah. I said, she wants to win too. I said, if I was running, racing, I would want to win too. I said, but you got to stop crying when you don't win. Got a hippie, Johnny. I mean, if I was like Aiden, he did a baby, just fine. I mean, Teresa would have me crying every time we'd play cards. I mean, she tries to pump your head up like you're going to lose before she gets started. I mean, she's like, I'm sorry, but now I'm... That, have she pulled any of that on all of y'all? Y'all know exactly. She does it at home. That's just her. I'm like, you ain't going to pump me up, Jack. you're going to get whipped. What you going to get whipped?
Nah, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to get...
And I'm like, well... See, you got to watch Satan. He's going to tell you when you start, you ain't going to prosper. No, you're not going to be healed. You're not going to prosper. You're not going to win in this. I find out that we win. Praise God. So I want to encourage you, praise God. Right here in the middle of the week, Satan said, why don't you preach on me? And I said, I am. Why don't we go in there and study that sermon on him, study on him, you know, and come and where y'all can find out what y'all know what he's doing. Now we need to know what God's doing. I said, I'm going to preach on you. I sure am. I'm going to make stepping stones out of you tonight, Jack, just because you reminded me to preach on prosperity. Because I know that was my thoughts and that wasn't my heart. Now you're trying to deter me to go preach on you when I'm going to go preach on him that defeated you over there in Genesis when he said you're going to crawl on your belly. You're going to crawl on your belly from here out. I'm going to put in me. They're talking about Jesus. You're going to bruise his heel. He did when he stepped on him, stripped him, praise God. So I want to encourage you. Just cast all those stupid thoughts out that tells you you ain't going to win, you ain't going to prosper, you can't handle it. He tells me I can't handle business. I make wise decisions, and I mean people are amazed. I make garage, the handling garage door business look easy. I told Travis the other day, or a week or three, I said I'm fixing to stop running their business for them. I'm a problem solver. I saw a problem late. We went and did something. That lady, she looked at me. It'd been sitting there a long time, and the door didn't look good. She said, well, I think that section. And I said, well, you know what I think? I said, I think you just need to push for a hole. It's the door we're subbing for somebody. I said, I think you just need to. We just need to push for a hole. You're getting a brand new door here, and there's a lot of dust. Don't look good. I said, I think we just need to push, and you just need to. All of it new. Oh, would you tell him? I said, yes. I'll be glad to. I'll be glad. Well, Travis ended up telling him. You know, I told Travis, I said, go in there. I said, the lady getting a brand new door. He's left it sitting out there. You know, he could have covered it up or something. You know, I feel kind of embarrassed going out there. I mean, I get some degreaser, Johnny, and I drive up on their job and lay their door out there and get me a brush and scrub it for 45 minutes because I really feel bad about hanging their door with my business company name on the side of my truck. So I know what you're talking about. But you know what? He paid me to solve that problem. And you know what? I might have costed him, but I'm going to get he's going to have a good name. He's going to have a good name. I'm going to have a good name. So I called her. I called her yesterday, didn't ask, called this morning. I said, hey. She said, hey, Mr. West. And I said, I called you yesterday and didn't answer. I said, he's just going to order you a whole new insulation kit and put in that door. She said, are you serious? She said, thank you for doing that. I'm anointed to cost you if you ain't going to do the right thing. Right? Hallelujah. Well, And I told Travis, I mean, she wasn't upset with us. She just, I mean, even before all of that happened, you know, I mean, she was just as nice. We tried to clean that door up, you know. Me and Travis was talking. I said, that's why where we at 30 years later. Because we care about people. There it is. Integrity and management skills. And manage the word, manage your thoughts, have some integrity, you ain't going to quit. And I promise you, God will see to it that you come out on top. Hallelujah. Let's bow our head. Father, we praise you.